You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello. Welcome back to another episode. Great to have you here once again. Hopefully you're enjoying all of these. If you do, please do remember to give us a like, a comment, a subscribe, share it with your friends. Give us a review on your favorite podcast platform as well. That really helps to build momentum and get word out there. And you're definitely going to want to get word out there for today's episode, because today I am joined by a fascinating lady, Laurie Sjostrom. Now, Laurie lives on a small hill in a windy seaside village. And if that doesn't get you wanting to know more, I don't know what will. Laurie lives on a small hill in a windy seaside village. Her family is multicultural. Her children are from Vietnam. She and her husband are from the USA. And they all live happily in beautiful Cork in Ireland. Laurie is a communication expert with over 21 years of experience in training top executives from multinational corporations such as Kraft Foods. And she loves to discover new ways of seeing the world. However, like everyone listening and watching today, her family was struck by unexpected challenges. In her case, one after the other, each of her two children were diagnosed with serious medical conditions. Finally, in 2021, Laurie left the business world to serve parents of children with serious medical conditions. Her passion today is to help parents reduce the overwhelming emotions that take control of their lives so that they can make good decisions for their children with no second guessing. That is my guest today, Laurie Sjostrom. Laurie, how are you doing?
Hi, Keith. Very well, thank you. It's been a great day so far. I'm very excited about having this conversation with you.
Me too. And dear viewer, dear listener, you'll find out why in just a moment when you find out exactly what we're going to be talking about. But just before we do, Laurie, we've heard your bio. But who is Laurie? Who is the lady behind the bio?
Keith, I think you might be surprised to find out that I am a binge watcher of Netflix. I absolutely adore watching House. I don't know if you know the TV series House. Mm-hmm. Hugh Laurie, in my opinion, is one of the most talented actors that exist. And I have no trouble whatsoever telling my husband just how much I adore Hugh Laurie. And I even go so far as to say, if ever we met and got married, my name would be Laurie.
Laurie, there you go.
and my name would be spelled exactly the same as his last name. So my first name and his last name are exactly the same.
Yeah, now, think of the endless confusion and fun you could have with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, goodness me. Yes. Yeah, so obviously you enjoy House. Any other particular favorite shows that you like binge watching?
Well, you know, you would think that as a person who helps parents reduce anxiety, I would probably choose things that were less anxious ridden. But another one of my favorites is Breaking Bad. Reason why I like Breaking Bad so much is that at the beginning of the show, this scientist, this school teacher, this, you know, this family man with a son who's got a challenge, you know, he's such a good guy. And something happens and he becomes the most evil person that you could imagine. And I like to see how the brain transforms from one state of mind to another just because of the circumstances that you go through. And yeah, so yeah, I like all of that kind of deep thinking when I watch shows.
Nice. I'm aware of Breaking Bad. It's not one that I've watched, but I know a lot of people do watch it, and I'm aware of the concept behind it. Whenever someone mentions it, I always get reminded of the cartoon that I saw, which shows why Breaking Bad could never have happened in the UK, given the difference in the health health setups in the two countries. But
You'd have to share that with me. I want to see that. Oh, I would love that so much.
I will dig that out and show that, pass that on to you, Laurie. Actually, it's cool that you mentioned Breaking Bad then, and the whole setup. This man who's a really good man ends up becoming really evil through necessity, because that ties neatly into the themes that were that you and I are chatting about today. I met Laurie in a network meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we had a good chat, and we stumbled upon this topic, and we both realized this is one that would make for a really interesting episode of a podcast. So here we are. We are talking about exactly that. Why is it that what makes good people sometimes do bad? And the flip side as well, to explore how bad people can also sometimes do good. Because so often we just pigeonhole people as they're good or they're bad. And we assume if you're a good person, you always do good. If you're a bad person, you always do bad. But life isn't like that. Life isn't black and white. We don't fit into boxes. So I guess let's start with the first part of that. So why do good people sometimes do bad? Is it because they're inherently bad and they were pretending to be good? Or what's going on behind them, Laurie, that causes good people to sometimes do bad?
I think that it has a lot to do with the way our brain is set up. We have two ways of thinking. We've got this sort of primitive, instinctive, survival mode brain. And we also have this creative, intuitive, innovative other part of our brain. And we all want to be the second. We don't really want to be in this primal survival mode brain. But the thing is that when we're children and when we're learning how to survive, those elements really get anchored deeply in our minds, and our emotions and our thoughts really just repeat again and again, like a habit, I would say. And we have these habits of thought we don't even realize we have. So while we strive to be really good people, there are things that maybe happened in our past that made us feel more protective or more suspicious or whatever. And so we have these quirks because of our experience, because of our personality, because of our DNA that make us just, I don't know, be so unique and individual. And so nobody is all 100% good. And nobody is all 100% bad, in my opinion. And if you look for good things, you'll find them.
That's true. Yeah, so true with everything that we do. Where if whatever you look for, you will find. It's like with search engines. If you type poverty into your favorite search engine, or if you type war into your favorite search engine, you'll come up with lots of horrific images, and you might conclude that life is horrific. Whereas if you type beauty or beautiful sunsets or happy into your favorite search engine, you're going to get a whole different set of results. You're right. And it's the same with each and every one of us. If we assume someone is bad and we look for all the bad things they've done, we'll see lots of bad things. If somebody else looks at that same person, assumes they're good, and looks for all the good things they've done, they'll see lots of good things. You're right,
Yeah,
because we are just a mix,
absolutely.
aren't we?
And I think that everyone here listening probably, unless there is somebody out there listening who doesn't drive a car or has never ridden in a car, I think almost everybody listening would be able to identify with the whole road rage thing. If you've driven on the road and you've seen somebody do something crazy, and that initial response of that guy could have just killed me. You'll go into survival mode, in that instance. So let's just picture a road rage incident scenario. There's a car that is stuck behind a tractor, and it's trying to get around the tractor and is kind of getting a little bit erratic in its behavior. And there's a long stream of oncoming traffic, but there is a break in the traffic, and the tractor is going slowly enough that, if you computed, you could probably slip around the tractor in that little gap between the cars. And so this person does it. They zip out really fast, revving the engine right around the tractor. And the oncoming car has to hit the brakes, and the car fishtails a bit, and there's no collision, and this other car just zips on its way. And here we have the tractor driver having a heart attack, the oncoming car, that guy probably doesn't know even what to think, and the guy behind him, you know, all of these people have been adversely affected by this one lunatic. And so what I guess I would like to ask you there, in that scenario, how would you feel when, if you were the oncoming car, how would you feel if somebody pulled that?
Probably terrified. And then our survival instincts, I suppose, would kick in onto autopilot to try and avoid and make sure that there wasn't a collision. And then in the aftermath afterwards, assuming, as you say, everybody survived, there was no accident, probably feel rather angry toward the irresponsible idiot who nearly caused a multiple crash.
Right. So I like the way you described the person as the irresponsible idiot, especially because that person was me. I did that once.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a good person. You know, you heard my bio. You heard mm-hmm. that I help parents of children with medical issues to reduce their anxiety. Well, what if you thought about it from my perspective? My child had been diagnosed with a very serious medical issue, and there was an accident that came up. And I knew that if I didn't get her to the hospital in a very short period of time, there was a very, very small likelihood that she would survive. I knew that if I waited for an ambulance, I live in a seaside village, as I mentioned,
yeah,
the ambulance would never get there in time. So I wanted to get there. And I had, you know, my primal brain, my survival mode brain was so well focused that I could calculate exactly how long it would take to get from my house to the hospital. And I figured that if I just sped up a little bit, I could reduce that amount of time. So I was driving like a lunatic to get my daughter to the hospital. And then a tractor appeared in front of me. And you know what? I was just so angry. I couldn't believe that there was a tractor on the road. Why are tractors allowed on the road? Oh my God. Why don't they just make them drive on the fields where they belong? I mean, my brain was not thinking in any kind of rational manner. And so there was a lot of oncoming traffic. It was early in the morning, around the time that kids were being dropped off at the school where I passed this traffic, right outside of where a school was dropping off kids. I was now a total lunatic. And I don't even know what went through my head. I think back to that day and I am so guilt-ridden. I'm embarrassed, but I share the story because I think it's a very important story to share.
Absolutely.
Could you have a little compassion for me? Could you think maybe she isn't an idiot and that's not the way she would typically think? Could you forgive me? And maybe if you knew that that person driving that car who did that thing was actually really in a great deal of distress, would that stop you from going into an angry state of mind? Would you be able to have compassion and empathy for me? And would you be able to continue your drive after that, not being on the lookout for the next crazy lunatic, not being suspicious and maybe getting to be a little bit aggressive or defensive in your driving? Could you maintain your level of equanimity, or whatever the word is, where you're not like freaking out? Could you forgive me? And if you could forgive me, knowing my story, is it possible that any idiot on the road could be in similar circumstances?
It's a great point that you make, a really good point that you make there. We never know what's going on for someone else. And brings to mind the reality that all of us are doing the best we can with what we have, and if you had been the one in the oncoming car, and the driver in the oncoming car had been in your position, your roles would have been reversed. The outcome would probably have been exactly the same, but your roles would have been reversed. So you're absolutely a great point that you touch on there. We're all doing the best we can with what we have, and we've no idea what's going on for the other person. We don't know why they've done what they did. Great point.
Yeah, sometimes you see people driving on the road and you wonder what could possess them. But instead of asking what possessed them to do that and giving them a label of some sort of bad guy, we could just say, I don't know what's going on with them. And I really hope that their day gets better because they are a danger on the road and I want other people to be safer as well. So I'm going to just send them a little prayer that they might, that they might relax or find some solace or figure out what's going on and just calm down. And if I hit the horn and I shout you effing whatever and shake my fist at them, I'm not going to be contributing to helping them reduce that and making it safer on the road for other people. So yeah,
Interesting idea.
I was an evil person one day. I did that. I put a lot of people's lives at stake. And it was because I wasn't thinking straight. And I know that if I had an accident, my daughter would have been in much greater danger than if I'd driven reasonably carefully, and been thinking in that sort of state of mind of acceptance, gratitude, creativity, and all of the things that help you relax. And that, Keith, is the key reason why I do what I do, which is help parents reduce their anxiety so that this kind of thing doesn't happen and that their kids can thrive in the future instead of be put at more risk because their parents are freaking out.
Got it. Yeah, no, that really does make a lot of sense. It really that example. So your example, personal example with the car, and the example from Breaking Bad itself, for those who are familiar with it, with the show, both are great illustrations of why good people sometimes do bad. It's not because they're setting out to do bad, but it's because in the situation they're in, as far as they can see, that is the least worst option that they have. I'm not going to say the best option, but the least worst option that they have. They're in such a dire situation that they grab at the one which could give a glimmer of hope.
Yes, and there are things that
Interesting.
we can do to avoid putting our mind into this survival brain mode. I didn't have to be in that mode. I could have been a much more calm driver that day, but I hadn't the practice. I didn't strengthen that muscle of getting out of survival brain and getting into this state of finding the most creative and the most understanding way of doing what it is I need to do. If I had practiced meditation or putting myself in other people's shoes or anything, I could have maybe got myself out of that state of mind and been safer on the road and given my daughter an even higher chance of getting to the hospital safely. So thank God we got her to the hospital safely, but it wasn't because of what I did. And what I did is unforgivable on every level. And I was really a bad person on that day. But I am a good person and I did a bad thing. Now I can see that and I can get training to stop that. And so can everybody. So if you know anybody who has road rage, I mean, just a coach. A coach can help them. A counselor, a psychologist, a coach, anyone who can help them rethink what's going on in their lives to make their life a little bit less crazy. But how about if we go with that idea of the bad person who does a good thing?
Yeah, I was going to say, what if we flip this around? So we got bad
Yeah.
people. What makes them sometimes do good things?
Yeah. Well, can you think of like, can you and all of your listeners out there think of a person that you really wouldn't trust further than you could throw them? Can you think of somebody who's betrayed you or who's repeatedly shown you that they are just not trustworthy? If you can imagine a person like that, just really think about them right now. And imagine that they come to you and say, "Hey, Keith, how are you? How's it going? How's work? How's your family?" What would be the very first thing you might think if this person that you really always struggled with, if they're just not a good person, what would you think their motivation was?
My first thought, or the first thought that comes to mind, is probably, what are you up to? What do you want?
Exactly.
What are you after?
Yeah. What are you up to?
Yeah.
Or it could be, here we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not actually going to give them a moment. You're not going to trust them. You're not going to soften to them if they're nice to you. Because you already have in your mind that they're a bad person. Yeah. So let's change that around. What if somebody you really love, admire, and trust were to say, "Oh, will you just like get out of here? It's just so annoying. You just leave me alone." If it's somebody that you really love, you're so loyal to, they've always been there for you, and they say that to you, how would you react to them?
The thought that's coming to mind is, my first thought would be, "Oh, geez, what have I done? Okay, let's get out of the way, leave them a bit of peace and quiet, and then maybe pop round with some tea and cake later and see how they're doing."
Yeah, exactly. You're so compassionate. You're so understanding. You're thinking, this is not who they are. So let's imagine this bad person. Now we've given them the identity of a bad person, but is everybody completely bad? Because remember, just a little while ago, I was an evil person. I nearly killed four people. I mean, I am bad, and I'll bet you anything that those four people, that tractor driver and the people in the two cars that I put at risk, they probably wouldn't trust me further than they could throw me, right? So, and if I came to them saying, "I am so sorry," you know, they would still go, "You effing idiot."
Yeah.
"You put my life in danger. My kid was in the car." And I wouldn't be surprised if they'd want to haul off and slug me.
Yeah.
You know, so what is the identity of a bad person? So is a bad person somebody you offended and now they don't trust you and so they treat you badly now? Or is it just a really abusive person? Who is this person and what makes them be the way they are? And is it possible that something, that they need love, that they need compassion, that they need help in some sort of way, and they realize, I can't continue behaving this way because it's not getting me anywhere. People are cutting themselves off from me. Is it possible that a bad person could actually figure that out? What do you think?
It's a great question, isn't it? It's a great question. I would imagine it is certainly, or my feeling is that it would certainly be possible, because we can all change. So it'd certainly be possible.
I think so. I mean, you are an example of a person who must believe that, because you do hypnotherapy, don't you?
Yes.
And what is hypnotherapy? What does it, what is the purpose of it? It's not that I impose my will on you if I hypnotize you, right? Because
absolutely,
you can't really impose your will on somebody else in that way.
Nope, absolutely. You can't make somebody do anything. But if they want to make a change, you can help them find the direction to get to where they want to go.
Clear the block that is maybe causing them to embody the bad behavior in the first place.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, yeah. So what could make a bad person who says, "Hey, how are you doing?" actually get a response from you that's not, "Well, what do you want now?" How could we How can we change that? And is it safe for us to do that? I mean, why not just let bad people be bad people?
Yeah, it is an interesting one, isn't it? How do you work out whether they're genuinely attempting to turn over a new leaf or whether they're just trying another way to do whatever it is that they do? It's I guess there's a lot of we have a lot of self-preservation mechanisms kick in. The whole it's like when you touch a hot stove, you don't touch it every time to see if it'll hurt this time. You just go, oh no, I'm not going to touch that because that hurts. So yeah, it's trust is they often say trust is something that takes a long time to build up, but you can lose it in an instant. And once it's gone, it's very, very, very difficult to build it back up again.
Yeah, actually, I love the description of trust as a wine glass. A wine glass that's been hand blown by a glass blower takes a long time, a lot of care to make, and it can be very, very beautiful. And it's just as easy to shatter that
Yeah.
trust.
Oh, yes.
And then once that trust is shattered, you can glue it back together. All of the shards of glass are there. They could be put back together. But they wouldn't have the same integrity anymore.
It's just not
So
going to be the same, is it?
I guess that brings me to what you were saying a few minutes ago, which is why not have boundaries? Why not just say, you know what? Lori, you drove like a lunatic. You scared the crap out of me. You were a bad person on that day, and I just don't want to have anything to do with you, and that's okay with me. Just because you happen to be a good person, I don't like you, and that's okay with me. You know, nothing is going to justify what you did to me and my kid that day. And I don't want to forgive you, and I'm not going to. Is there any reason why we can't just set our boundaries and then leave them there? As long as cutting off the connection with me doesn't actually impede your dreams or who you are as a person, why not set those boundaries and just say, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
They
And yeah,
screwed up,
that's.
and they screwed up in a way that's not fixable, and I'm good with that. I don't have to deal with them anymore, and just let it go.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important point. The last three words that you said there, let it go. It's when we dwell on these things and we hold the grudges and like kind of try and turn everybody else against this person. That's when it gets really undesirable. But if it's just a case of, you know what? That person did something which crossed the line. I can't forgive them for it. I'm going to step back and not have them as an active part of my life. And I'm going to move on with the people that I do want to be part of my life. Laurie, as always happens with these things, we could talk for a lot longer on this. And it's been a fascinating discussion so far. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for taking the time to be here. I know a lot of people are going to want to find out more about you, maybe even get in touch. What's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I have quite a few different platforms that I work from. So the best place to go is to Linktree. And so it's Linktree Lori LSC. Lori, just like Hugh Lori, LAURIE, LSC, Lori Sjostrom Coaching. If you want to find out more about me and about the journey that my kids and I have traveled, or if you know anybody who's dealing with anxiety, yeah, I would be more than happy to talk, see if I can help.
Beautiful. So yeah, as Laurie says, she's available in a lot of places. All the links will be in the show notes for this episode. As always, keithblinkmobile.com/show and look for the one with Laurie Sjostrom. And if you want to find out more about her right now, go to Linktree, linktr.ee, Linktree/LAURIELSC. Linktree/LauriElSC. And you can find out a lot more about Laurie and maybe even get in touch. Get in connect with her. Laurie, thank you so much. I've absolutely loved our conversation. It has been fascinating. Thank you so much for taking time out to be with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith, as well. And I hope that all of the people out there who've ever had some crazy lunatic driving at them can forgive me. Because I was that person at one time. And it's really an important thing to be able to just get past it. And if we
Absolutely.
can admit what we've done wrong, that's halfway to the healing as well.
Certainly is. Certainly
Okay.
is. Thank you
Thanks
so
very
much.
much.
Thank you. And thank you, dear listener, dear viewer, however you're catching this. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please do let me know what you think. Leave a comment, give the show a like, subscribe to it, and give us a rating, a review on your favorite podcast platform. That would all help. If you want to find out more content, check out my Patreon as well. Again, the link is in the show notes, or go to keithbn.link/Patreon with a capital B. You get more background on all sorts of stuff. And either way, I hope we'll catch you in the next episode. And until then, I'm going to leave you with a beautiful quote. This is Laurie's favorite quote. It's from the great Dr. Seuss. Be who you are, say how you feel, because those who mind don't matter. And those who matter don't mind. And it doesn't stop there. As part of our discussion, we got on to talking around the theme of forgiveness. Now, unfortunately, that was too long a segment to include in this episode. However, if you're one of my Patreons, head over to Patreon and you'll be able to catch that as a free bonus episode as a thank you.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.